Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Good morning, everybody. 908 on KDXU. Marianne Hamilton is here, our fitness guru and former Miss Senior Universe. Hi, Marianne.
Good morning, Andy. How's it going?
Good. We were just talking about, I don't know, fate, destiny, good luck, good fortune, blessed by God, whatever you want, wherever you want to go with it. Times in our lives where had we made a slightly different decision or been slightly earlier or later than we were, we wouldn't be here.
So 2 seconds or 2 minutes or something
crazy,
can make all the difference.
It?
I know. It's really sends chills down your spine sometimes.
About, I would say it was probably 23, 24 years ago, I got run off the road by a truck that didn't see me, just literally went into my lane and pushed me into the median. And had the median been, had there been an underpass there, or had there been rocks, or, I mean, you know how medians are. You just never know what you're going to get. And it turned out to be a very a grassy area that he pushed me into, and I was, it was me and my three sons in a minivan. And, I'm very fortunate.
Were they freaked out, and how long did you have PTSD after that?
The kids were oblivious.
Okay.
I mean, because they were little, but I was freaked out.
Yeah.
And we actually had, you know, at the time, it was probably June, there was the grass, you know, the weed and the grass, and it was all stuck in my bumper when I got to my parents' house and pulled off. There was grass in my bumper, and I thought, man, that had there been rocks or anything, it could have been really bad.
Whole different story. So,
and I was definitely a little tense when I got there.
I can remember hydroplaning one time driving between San Jose and Santa Cruz on a really, really rainy morning. And my car actually spun around completely, 360. Thank goodness it was very, very early in the morning. I was going down to meet a girlfriend and go for a walk, and there was nobody on the road except me. And I finally pulled off and just started shaking. I mean, my body just had this, post adrenaline rush, and I was just blown away. It was really, really scary. I basically, I went, did a 180, bounced against the wall, and then bounced around and did a complete 360.
I spun out once on 1300 West in Salt Lake right after I was at my buddy's house. It had snowed while I was in hanging out with my buddy. When I went to go home, I was in my mom's car, and I just remembered driving home and lost control and spun. And there were huge ditches on either side of the road. And for whatever reason, I was lucky enough that my spin was straight. I went straight up the road spinning, and there were no other cars because it was 11 o'clock at night. But
yikes.
That could have been, scary too. So,
all these near misses.
But for the grace of God, go I, right?
Here you are.
Yeah.
Here we are.
And here we are.
We're
and,
still here.
Marianne is here. Marianne has some cool stuff to talk to us about. But I mean, in talking about how close death can be. We had, it's been a week and a half, 2 weeks now, these kids on scooters that hit a car.
Yes.
The car didn't hit them. They hit the car because the car turned in front of them. And these scooters go so fast now. And, yesterday, I'm driving home. I'm driving up Skyline Drive here to get up onto Red Hills Parkway. And so I'm stopped at the light there, Skyline and Red Hills, and this guy on a scooter comes zipping by at, I'm guessing, 40 to 50, right? I mean, he was moving.
Yeah.
I never saw him. Had it been clear to turn right, I probably would have gone ahead and turned right. Having never seen the guy, he would have hit into the side of my car as he's coming down. He never, I mean, he was just cruising on this electric scooter down the hill. And I, of course, for a minute there, I was like, kind of a little bit shaken.
I almost killed somebody.
But you had an experience. Well, your husband had an experience.
Well, I was thinking about, quite often I listen to your podcast because I'm typically teaching classes or something when you're on the air in the morning.
Busy girl.
I don't get to see you or listen to you actually live. And I was out on the trail the other day and I listened to the podcast with you and Chief of Police and Officer Tiffany.
Tiffany Mitchell.
Tiffany Mitchell, who's wonderful. And they were talking about this and, you know, scooters not having to stop or cyclists not having to stop, all that kind of thing. And they talked about the fact that there's no bicycle helmet mandate in the state of Utah.
That's right.
And I just want to say, I know people are very adverse to having, you know, government overreach and people telling you what to do. But from a personal experience, I would say, please, please, please don't ever get on a bike without a helmet. Because a year after Doug and I moved here, He was training for the senior games, mm-hmm. and he was out riding around Vail up in that area, not getting a pie, but he was, you know, he was riding.
Sounds pretty good. But yeah, yeah.
And he had called me about 11:30 and said, you know, I feel great. I, you know, I've done this wonderful ride. I'll be home in about a half an hour. Half an hour goes by, an hour and a half, 2 hours. And he's usually really, really good about checking in. Or if I check in with him, he responds. So I'm texting and I called and nothing happened. Mm. It went right to voicemail.
Now, as a wife at this point, are you starting to freak out a little bit?
Completely freaked out.
Because us parents do that a lot with our kids. If our kids don't, and you know, teenagers, I don't care. I'm just going out having fun with my friends.
But, you bet.
And I can't tell you how many times my kids have come to me and said, Dad, you got to settle down. I was fine. I'm like, yeah, but you didn't check in for 2 or 3 hours. How would I know you were fine?
Exactly.
So you're as a wife, you're like,
I'm living embodiment of that, right? Yeah. So this goes on. So now it's about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and there's nothing. I've had no word, and I'm really, really, really flipped out.
And he's supposed to be home an hour, 2 hours earlier.
Gosh, like at noon, yeah. So a friend and her husband came and collected me. We drove around where I thought he had been riding to see if we could see him by the side of the road or something, you know, and didn't see him. I've been calling again. It's going to voicemail. They finally brought me home around 6:30 or so, and I called the police, and I said, yeah, I want to report a missing person. I know it's kind of early, blah, 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 blah. And they said, well, how old is he? And I said, I think he was like 62 at the time or something, or 68. And they said, oh, okay. You know, and they immediately took all the information, and they said, okay, we'll send it out to, you know, the network, and we'll see. That was all they could do. So then I thought, well, I'm going to call around the hospitals and see if, you know, he's been taken in.
I know it sounds, folks, a little over the top, but that's what you go through when someone you love is missing.
Exactly. And I did call St. George Regional Hospital, and they said, oh, yes, he was brought into the ER around 12:30 today. He has a broken neck. And I said, oh, by the way, he's had a 3-way cervical fusion in his neck, and he has a steel plate in his neck. And I swear to God, the nurse that answered said, oh, my holy God.
And, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so then I thought, oh, my gosh. So anyway, I established that he was there. I said, okay, I'll be there as soon as I can. Went and took a shower and tried to get myself together because I thought, you know, if I have to go, like, identify a body, I have to at least, you know, look. I mean, I was that really upset, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went in, and it turned out that he had been coming through Ivan's around the roundabout where the horses are, you know, mm-hmm. on the parkway. And he said the last thing he remembers was a car coming up behind him. Then he woke up in the hospital. And he had 5 broken ribs, one of which had broken so severely it punctured his lung and collapsed it. His head hit the ground with such force that it actually broke the ring inside of his helmet.
So he was wearing a helmet.
He was wearing a helmet. It gashed his head. That required 17 stitches to close that, and he had a massive concussion. But had he not been wearing the helmet, he would have been, you know, absolutely gone.
Game over. Yeah,
game over. And so he was in the hospital for a good week, and he was really, really, really in awful shape. But his helmet did save him. I do have it still smeared with blood, you know. And,
really?
And I have his jersey that he was wearing. They had to cut off his body to, you know, take care of him. But
You were going to bring that. You decided not
to. I forgot to.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
I looked at it and thought, this is too traumatic. No, it was too scary. So anyway, what I want to say is, I know that's an extreme case, but you said on that podcast or that episode with the chief and Tiffany, if you're not in a car and you're hit by a car, you're on a bike, you're not going to win.
Yeah.
You're not going to win.
It does not matter whose fault it is. It doesn't matter how right you were.
Right.
You're still going to lose.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the person that hit Doug took off. Well, he stayed long enough, apparently, to call the police and then took off. Because 3 weeks later, we wanted to call the police. We called the police and said we'd like to thank the person, you know, that phoned us in. And they said, oh, well, he wanted to remain anonymous. And, oh, by the way, you know, he really wasn't there. So that was pretty freaky.
So the person hit your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Call 911 and then left.
Then left.
Just left him there by himself.
Left him there. We went back and looked at the, you know, place in the gravel where he'd been. You could still see it was all, you know, basically an accident scene. It was pretty bad. And this person took off.
Wow.
Yeah.
So who just, I guess another person driving by a little while later found him, or?
I think the person said he's here in the roundabout by the horses, blah, blah, blah. And then they were gone by the time the police got there.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty awful.
That, I hate to bring this up, but that might almost imply that person was perhaps impaired in some way. Because if it was just an accident, you wouldn't be charged with anything if it was just a flat out accident. But if you were on drugs or whatever, you would be charged with stuff.
And so. It was a pretty scary thing. Doug's had head trauma, obviously, and his memory has some lapses still that the doctors have said may come back at some point or may not. Interesting thing was he's much more in touch with his feelings now. He's more apt to cry. He has a friend and said,
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No, I cried cat commercials, And that's not a bad thing. He's kind of in touch with his feminine side, perhaps. I don't know.
I think, though, that you make a good point. This should be, and even though it's anecdotal, this should be a heavy endorsement to help people understand you got to protect yourself. You've got to wear a helmet. You've got to understand that. And I remember when I was young and riding motorcycles around brash, and I'm like, hey, as long as I'm a defensive driver and I'm the smart one, I'm going to be fine. Exactly. Well, guess what?
Yeah. Other people aren't always so smart.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really
that's true.
Kind of awful.
In my motorcycle accident, it's been, I think, 7 years now. We were obeying the speed limit. Mm-hmm. We were driving on the road. I had a 900-pound motorcycle. I'm a 300-pound dude. My wife's 100 pounds. I mean, there's 1,100, 1,200 pounds of stuff. The guy should have seen us. He didn't see us, turned in front of us, and crash.
Oh, man.
And I was right. And he was wrong. Guess what? He doesn't hurt right now. I still do.
Exactly. And, it takes one person who's looking at their cell phone or somebody who's reaching over to try and, change the channel on the, punch on their screen or something. And it's just, if someone's distracted for just a couple seconds, you lose if you're on a bike. I mean, there's a reason why if you go on to a construction site, they tell you to wear a hard hat and steel-toed boots, because that's a matter of safety. And nobody seems to care about that. They say, oh, that makes sense. That's my protection. It's the same thing if you're on a bike. Think about it being on a work site. This is the protection that you need.
That's a great point.
I don't understand why this is. I mean, there's a reason why our bicycle police officers wear helmets. They know.
By the way, even on motorcycles, it is not the law. If you're 18 or over, you don't have to wear a helmet on a motorcycle, which I don't understand. My wife calls them donor cycles.
Cycles.
She learned that from an ER nurse.
Like a soap dish on the head, in California, because there is a motorcycle law, but the bikers wear those little teeny things that don't really do provide much protection.
We encourage people. We can't make them, but especially now with the really incredible popularity of e-bikes and e-scooters that go so fast. Gosh, protect yourself, because it doesn't matter if you're right.
Yeah. I would like everybody in the world to not have to go through that. And I have to say, it was a little bizarre that Doug had all of his ID. He had his an expired license he always carries in his backpack on his bicycle, and he's wearing a wedding ring. His cell phone was in the car.
And they didn't call you.
Nobody ever called me. And
that's odd.
Yeah, and I guess there was a social worker who's supposed to make those phone calls, and somehow the wires got crossed, because I know the people at the hospital are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. But I really had some PTSD of my own for a couple of weeks afterwards, because I didn't know what was going on, and I was so terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the reality was worse when I walked into the hospital room and saw
So the accident happened probably at noon or one, right?
It was about noon, because I had talked to him at 11:30.
He was in the hospital he had been transported to the hospital for 4 or 5 hours before, maybe longer, before you even knew anything.
I didn't know until about 6:30.
And the only reason you knew is you called them.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not how we picture it going down in our minds when something happens.
It's not.
No.
So we both carry, I have on most of my running shoes, I have one of those road ID things that if I ever get, hit or have a heart attack on the trail or something, it has all of my contact info and the drugs that I'm allergic to and all that kind of stuff. So it's really important.
Wear a helmet, folks.
Wear a helmet, please.
That's the bottom line.
Please wear a helmet.
So yeah. I know that's not the typical topic from Marianne. She's our fitness guru, but a good lesson. And I appreciate you listening to the podcast. And you can go. It was just last Tuesday or Wednesday or something that Chief Mitchell and Officer Mitchell and Chief Whitehead were on. And you can go back and listen to that. It was a good show. We had a lot of callers, people interested in it. And then I had my own experience, like I said yesterday, where I never saw the guy. He came zipping by while I was stopped to turn right at a light. And had it been clear, I probably would have pulled in front of him. Mm-hmm. And who knows? I mean, I got a big old green truck now, and he would have hit it, and he wasn't wearing a helmet, and it would have been bad.
Oh, so sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well, no, happy to hear because it didn't happen.
Yes,
Thank goodness
that you're okay and he's okay.
But lesson learned. And, you know, I did a story, Marianne, a couple weeks ago on our website about, and it can apply to scooters and bikes too, but how our minds, our eyes, they're not cameras. We don't see every single thing. Mm-hmm. You know, if I look out here over the valley and I don't see every single thing like a camera would. And so our brain has to fill in some of the gaps of the things that we don't see. Right, and if you're not aware, if you're not thinking about motorcyclists or bicyclists or scooters, you don't see them.
I can see
them. Kind of like the scooter guy. I did not see him. He was on the sidewalk portion of the road. But they found that people that are consciously making an effort to be aware actually are at more than 20% higher, more likely to see these people.
Yeah.
And they said people who have family members who ride a motorcycle are more likely to, you know, avoid that type of accident because they, you know, they know that could be my brother or my cousin or my dad or my son or whatever.
Not surprisingly, Doug is very, very polite with cyclists. And he always gives them a right away and, you know, lets people go through even if they don't deserve it. Just say, you know, go for it.
I don't know if you remember this, or maybe you weren't even in Utah yet. A few years back, though, a guy was riding. He was a cyclist. He was very, you know, he had the whole the shorts and the helmet. He had everything, but the traffic stopped really fast, and he was not able to stop in time, and was ejected through the back window of this. It killed him.
Sad story.
Yeah,
awful.
And it was just. I mean, just a guy out for a bike ride. He was training for, you know, a bike race or something like that.
Man.
And it killed him. That was in Salt Lake. But, yeah, wear a helmet. He had one on. Maybe in that case it didn't save his life. But most of the times it will.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Doug. We're glad. Doug, we're glad you're still here, buddy.
We are very, very, very glad. And I just want to put a plug in, too, for the chief and for Officer Mitchell, who have just been absolutely wonderful to work with. Doug works with them quite closely on a lot of events, including one coming up very soon. That's all about the police.
Let's talk about that after our weather break. I did want to jump in, first of all, mention the... Now, folks that don't know this, Marianne, she's a very kind and loving person. She brought me a Pop-Tart powered shirt because I admitted on this show that I have a guilty pleasure that is Pop-Tart, especially the Oreo ones.
Mm-hmm.
And she recently sent me a link to the Jerry Seinfeld produced Pop-Tart movie called Unfrosted. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to watch it.
Sure.
Why? I mean, Seinfeld, everybody loves Seinfeld, right? Great
show. It's
about
Pop-Tarts. How bad could it be?
Yeah, it was bad.
It was really,
oh, man.
Really bad.
I do not. You know how they have the star rating and the recommend and all that? Mine is 1 out of 5 do not recommend.
Yeah.
It was just dumb.
Mine was a big bunch of Z's because I fell asleep.
Oh, you slept through it?
I fell asleep.
I made my wife watch the movie with me, and I actually feel really guilty because it was
so Mrs.
dumb.
Sorry, Mrs. Andy.
Yeah, Shelly. And she was a good sport. I don't think she even fell asleep, but she probably should have. The time would have been better spent sleeping through it. So
yeah, it's a shame. I really, really had high expectations because I love Jerry Seinfeld, and it was a real all-star cast. It was great.
Jim Gaffigan was the kind of the head of Kellogg's, and I forget the lady's name. She was the head of Post, and there was the rivalry.
Schumer.
Yeah, the rivalry involved there. Hugh Grant was a key player in it, and yet it was just not good.
It's one of those films where they spent all the money, I think, on casting, and didn't spend too much on writing the script.
Yeah. Did Seinfeld write that script?
I think he did.
Yeah.
I was trying to be kind, but, you know.
Jerry is a comedian, and for 3 minutes at a time, he's very funny. But 90 minutes?
No, not so much.
Not so much.
Not so much.
Yeah. Unfrosted. If you want to watch it, go ahead and watch it. It's clean. I don't think there was anything dirty or adult about it. It's just not funny. So
even if you're a Pop-Tart fan.
Yeah. And I am. I am a Pop-Tart fan. And it was loosely based on the history of Pop-Tarts and how Kellogg's and Post were trying to rush out this product. And Kellogg's ended up winning because of the name Pop-Tart versus, I think Post was Country Square. And they're like, nobody wants to be from the country and nobody wants to be a square. So Pop-Tart wins. But
I don't think I knew that they were both located in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Battle Creek, Michigan, yes. Home of
Kellogg's, I
Post
remember that.
Post and Kellogg's, yeah.
Quite the rivalry.
And Quaker Oats, I think, too.
probably.
Yeah. All right, we'll do this. We'll jump into a weather break here, and then when we come back, we are going to talk about cops and robbers.
Yay.
Is Marianne going to be a good guy or a bad guy this time around? Because I have
girl.
A picture of you. I see a picture of you. You look like a robber.
I will be. Once a robber, always a robber.
Although a somewhat comical robber. you don't look real scary.
I don't think so.
All right, now let's check weather on the Andy Griffin Show.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
In a couple of minutes, we're going to talk about dirt. Yes, we are. But right now, we're going to talk about good guys and bad guys with Marianne Hamilton. Marianne, thanks for coming on the show, as always.
I'm very happy to be here, Andy, as always.
Now, before we get into that, you were up in Salt Lake this weekend.
Yeah? Oh, yes.
And you gave a speech.
I did indeed. I was giving the keynote presentation at the Utah State Convention of TOPS, which is Take Off Pound Sensibly. And I had spoken to their St. George chapter last fall, and they liked what I had to say, I guess, and brought me back. And I talked to a couple hundred people on Saturday morning about the fact that it's never too late to make changes in your life, and all kinds of things are possible if you just believe in the power of possibilities, basically.
Nowadays, a lot of people are choosing Ozempic or some of those other weight loss drugs. Mm-hmm. And the problem with those things, two problems, they're very expensive.
Very expensive.
And once you go off of them, it all comes right back. All it's doing is suppressing your appetite. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't make changes, then
And a lot of the side effects are pretty hellacious for about half the people who take those drugs.
Talking with Dr. Blodgett about that, he said, we don't have any long-term studies. He said, the whole idea behind these drugs is it slows down the digestive process. Ugh. So basically, he says, without being too gross, your waste remains in your colon longer.
Right.
What is that doing to the colon's long-term? And we don't know yet. But he suspects it may cause an uptick in colon cancers. Mm-hmm. And
it was on the other side, talking to all these people, and there were a lot of men there as well as women at TOPS, and they also have COPS, which is Keep Off Pound Sensibly. If you
TOPS and COPS,
TOPS and COPS. They were talking, sharing success stories and things, and there was a woman from St. George who was there. She's lost 195 pounds.
Wow.
And she got, a huge award for, the most weight loss and this, that, and the other. And I thought, wow, she's lost two of me. What a huge, huge success story that is. Mm-hmm. And she's done it all without drugs, just by changing her food choices and exercising a little more, walking. None of them are doing, marathons or something, but they've all pretty much discovered that walking's a great idea if you're looking for a way to control your weight and just make yourself feel better every day.
And you don't have to power walk either. No. You can just walk.
They actually had me do a demonstration of race walking and power walking in my nylons and heels. So
Wait a minute. Can you do it in heels?
I did take off the heels, yes.
Okay.
But I, had on my suit and my skirt.
Because there's some specific rules and form that you have to follow. And I just can't imagine in heels that would work.
Quite work so well, no. So I'd take off the shoes. But they were very receptive. And, they laughed when they were supposed to and applauded. And I got a standing ovation at the end. So that was kind of cool.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
She has a TED Talk out there, too. Yeah. Marianne does, if you want to.
It's on YouTube.
I watched it online. I had no idea that you used to pose.
Undraped.
undraped. That's a good way to say it. Yeah.
Yes.
Not like unfrosted. That was bad.
No, not unfrosted.
Back in the day, I had no idea.
About 25 years, I posed for art classes at colleges and universities all over the Bay Area. And then when I came here, I posed at Utah Tech University.
It was Dixie.
It was Dixie then, yeah. And for Del Parson, who does some of the most beautiful religious iconography and paintings that are all over the temple up north. And he's very, very aware that if an artist is going to be really good at his craft, he has to know how to, he or she has to know how to paint and, you know, reproduce the human body. Mm-hmm. And so figure classes are very, very important for art majors. So I've done that for lots of years, and it was always very inspiring. It's not very sexy, trust me.
No, and that's the thing. A lot of people are like, oh, it's all kinky. And
No, it's not.
In fact, I had a friend of mine who painted, was in one of those classes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're covered in charcoal. You're hot and sweaty. You're trying to get things done in a certain amount of time. You know that the subject that you're painting is probably very uncomfortable, especially because they are expected, and I don't know if you experience it, to hold a pose for a long period of time.
Absolutely.
You can't move.
Typically, you get a break every 20 minutes, so you're completely still.
But after the break, you have to go back to the exact same pose.
Exact same pose. And most places, they will put tape around where your foot was, and you know, it's really pretty crazy, and people get very upset if you are in a millimeter to the left or to the right.
Your finger wasn't there.
Exactly. I was actually, I'm not exaggerating. I was modeling at a class one night, and one of the painters said, "She's breathing. Her chest keeps moving."
And how dare you breathe?
And the professor said, well, would you rather have that she died in class, you know?
And we're going to get a cadaver next time for you.
Exactly.
Just for you.
Man. But, you know, Doug, I'm sorry, I'll just tell you one thing.
Yeah.
That Doug, after we first met, came to an art class to watch me because he had no idea and he thought it was going to be kind of, you know, sensual. And about 2 minutes into it, he kind of went, okay, this is really boring. And it looks really painful. And I said, yeah, you're right. So it's not. So please, 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 if you take an art class, tip your model because they work very hard for you to be inspired.
She's not delivering food. You don't have to tip her for that.
No,
but
no,
she
no.
is, yeah, yeah. All right, let's talk cops and robbers for just a minute now. This is, I don't know, is it 2-3 years old now?
It's the third annual.
Third annual, okay. Yeah. And it's a concept. Of course, we love our races here in Southern Utah.
Of course.
You know, the running, you got your 5Ks and your 10Ks, you got your half marathons, you got your marathons, you got
There's a whole department that puts them on.
Yeah, yes, you got your triathlons, you got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
This is a novel concept. Tell us a little bit about what Cops and Robbers is, Marianne.
It's actually, there's a 5K race, a 10K race, and a one mile race if you're not really interested in doing the longer
1 mile
distance.
Would be 0.6K, anyway.
Okay. And it's called the Cops and Robbers because you can either be on Team Cops or Team Robbers. And if you're on Team Robbers, you get to take off a minute before the cops.
A little head start, okay.
Yes. And then the cops basically chase you. You know,
the concept is the good guys are chasing the bad guys.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And I've done it. I did it last year. It was hysterical.
And you were a bad guy.
I was a bad girl, yes.
Bad girl. Yeah.
And I got handcuffed at the end.
Really?
I think I sent you a picture of that.
Did they throw you in a squad car? And
No. Okay. It was just kind of for a photo op, but, you know.
Now, you're thinking cops are there donuts at the end?
There are donuts at the end, of course there are.
Yes.
And it's all for fun. It's basically all the law enforcement agencies in Washington County take part. If you're interested, there are some hilarious, hilarious videos that are on the St. George City Races website. And the cops here, I mean, the police here, you know, the chief and all of his officers have been so amazing about taking part in these really, really wonderful video productions. And
some of them are pretty good actors.
They're really good.
Some of them are not. But some of them are pretty good actors.
They're amazing.
Some of them could be in that Unfrosted movie with Seinfeld. You don't have to be a good actor to be in that movie,
that one.
By the way.
But it's super fun. It's a wonderful, you know, sort of bonding mechanism or PR, you know, mechanism for the police department. But it's a really terrific thing because you get to talk, you're racing with the cops and then you're talking with them afterwards and hanging out. And it's a wonderful, wonderful way for the community to get to know all of our law enforcement people who work so hard to keep us safe. So
let's get the deets on this. So 1K, 5K, and 10K. And the race is, I clicked on the Salt Lake one. I don't want this. No, there it is, St. George. Okay.
Yep. All starts at 8 a.m.
8 a.m. on the 18th.
Right.
So that is what, this Saturday is the 11th, so a week from Saturday.
Yeah.
And which is also Armed Forces Day.
Oh, well, how appropriate. Yeah. Okay. And then it's at Bloomington Park. And the packet pickup is the night before at Bloomington Park from 5 to 8 p.m. And it's at 650 Man O' War Road in St. George. And you can either pick up packets that night, or if you can't make it, you can make arrangements to pick it up the morning of the race. Better to pick it up the night before if you can. Everybody gets a finisher medal and a T-shirt. And there'll be, you know, water and Gatorade at aid stations about 1.5 miles from the start and finish line.
Do you know how much it costs? I'm kind of...
Yeah, there are... I think we've passed the early registration price now. So after May 4th, it is...
$45,
yeah.
Yeah. If you registered before May 4th, it was $35. Before May 16th, it's $45. And the day or so before the race, it's
$55, yeah.
So...
Yep.
What kind of... you know, it's a funny thing about it, because for me, I associate running long distances with pain. Because every time I remember I had a class in college, and in order to get an A, guys had to run a mile and a half in 9 minutes.
So it was a PE class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And 9 minutes is not world class like numbers, but 9 minutes for a mile and a half is relatively fast.
Yes, that's very respectable.
And I so bad wanted to get an A in that class. And when the final came, I did make it under 9 minutes. But I got to tell you, I was in some major pain because I pushed it hard.
Had you trained for that before?
Yeah. We had run and stuff. Okay. She wasn't my wife yet. She was my fiance. But my wife was in the same class. The women had 10.5 minutes to run the same mile and a half.
Yeah.
And so we're like jogging, we're running along together during the final. And she's like, I'm like, well, we need to kick it up a notch if we're going to make it. And she goes, well, you need to kick it up a notch. I can stay at this pace. I'm fine. I'm like, wait, there's something not fair about this. But I did.
You made it though. That's amazing. Did you pull any muscles or injure yourself?
No, I was just, you know, in pain, just, you know, out of breath, yeah. Stitch in the side, sore muscles the next day, stuff like that. But
when you know, that's a sign you really, really pushed yourself, and that's not entirely a bad thing, unless you do some damage.
So Cops and Robbers is really number fun. One. It's super, super fun. All the great stuff, even the donuts. I mean, everything about
and
it.
Everybody
is fantastic.
Wears costumes, and
but then there's some pain involved too if you're not in great shape.
If you're pushing yourself, I've actually signed up to do the St. George Half Marathon in October.
Really? You're going to go 13.1, huh?
Yeah, so I'm using this one as a training. I'm going to do the 10K.
You're going to do the 10, which is 6.1 miles.
6.1 miles. 6.2, yeah. I'm sorry, yeah.
And, nice.
I'll just be race walking, so I'll be, you know, I'm not going to be...
I was going to say, you are a race walker, but these are kind of running races.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
but
used
that's
to that.
Okay, right?
That's fine. I'm usually, you know, about halfway back in the pack, and I always have to laugh, especially during a half marathon, when I come across the unintentional walkers who start out at the beginning.
Yeah, they run early.
Yeah, and they go, "Oh, honey, maybe sometime you'll learn how to run." And I'll just kind of laugh and say, "Yeah, maybe," you know. And then we see them later on in the race,
you're
and I pass them.
Yeah. Yes, and they've got a stitch in their sides, like I was talking about.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of laughing, and having a good time.
All right, that's May 18th.
May 18th.
You can register now. Go to sgcityutah.gov, and they have a little tab in there. You can go to, or just search. All I did was go Cops and Robbers and St. George, and it gave me several different links to get to where I wanted to go.
Yeah, so, you know, get your costume ready if you want to wear one, and I'll see you out there. It's really, really a fun event for the community.
Mary Ann's, the picture she sent me to help promote this is a picture of her in, pinstripes, I guess. Yeah. Is that what we would call them? Prison stripes?
Black and white stripes, yes.
Black and white stripes. And she has dark sunglasses, dark hat, and black gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she also brought me I guess I'm going to be a bad guy.
I guess you're going to be a bad guy, Andy.
I'm actually going to be up at the state baseball tournament, so I won't be
running. Some people do anything to get out of a race. Right?
I know. Seriously, you have to work and stuff.
But that's actually the swag that you get when you register.
Very cool.
One of the things you get. It's a little mask that has the race title on it.
I can look like a raccoon.
Pretty much.
Cops and Robbers, May 18th. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about dirt a little bit here on the Andy Griffith Show. Not Well, there's a lot of kinds of dirt.
Getting
the dirt
dirty.
On you.
Getting
but
dirty.
We're talking about getting dirty, yeah.
Okay.
How it can be very beneficial to you.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Thanks for tuning in to the program today. Marianne Hamilton is with me. Tomorrow we'll hear from Steve Dunham from the Washington County School District. Thursday, Mayor Chris Staley from Washington City will be here. The new report is out. Washington, which was number one for 2 years in a row for best small towns in America to start a business, has dropped all the way to number four. Cedar City is actually number one. St. George is number two. We'll see what Chris has to say about that. I'm sure he'll have
a lot to say.
Really good.
I think there a new report came out today with U.S. News and World Reports and best states to live in, and Utah ranked in the top 10 of every single category that they have.
Yay, Utah.
Yay, Utah.
There's a reason that we love it here.
Yes.
The only complaint I have about St. George now is it's starting to get big. And
traffic.
I'm not going to lie, when I had Brandon Humphreys, the mayor of Enterprise, on, and he was talking about how great Enterprise was and, you know, one stoplight or whatever it is,
yeah.
And one doctor and one grocery store, and I'm like, that actually sounds kind of nice.
I remember when we moved here 10 years ago that it was the running joke. You could get anywhere in 12 minutes. Not so much anymore.
No. Yeah, if you try to get to Hurricane out to Tuacon,
mm-mm,
or vice versa, that's 45 minutes at least.
Yeah.
And even just like, say, Washington to Santa Clara, it's a pretty good trip.
When I drive from the Aquatic Center on Monday morning to go out to Brio to teach my second class, it takes about 25 minutes now.
Hmm.
It's kind of crazy.
We love our town. Don't get us wrong.
We do.
We love it here, but sometimes traffic is starting to get a little frustrating. All right, we're going to leave that behind. No, we're going to talk about dirt. We have 9 minutes to talk about dirt.
Quick dirt talk.
So I remember as a little kid, Mom, like, stop getting so dirty. And the motivation for Mom was, first of all, she had to
wash you.
Second of all, she had to wash your clothes.
Right.
Third of all, as kids, we were probably eating it or sticking it up our nose or something stupid like that.
Or,
so,
you know, wiping it on the wall or something.
So we were kind of taught, dirt is a bad thing. But it's not necessarily a bad thing, is it?
Not necessarily a bad thing. There's a lot of research that's been done that's shown that a little dirt is actually kind of good for you.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. It contains these microorganisms that have been shown actually to reduce, basically, people that grow up on farms have been shown to have lower rates of Crohn's disease, asthma, and allergies because there are all these microorganisms that live in the dirt. And sort of exposure to it helps you build up an immune system.
Really?
Which is really, 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 really cool.
Huh.
So by extension, those of us who don't live in the dirt could maybe do some gardening and have exposure to
it. I was going to say, what if you think about your life right now, whoever you are out there listening, how often are you exposed to dirt? I'm not talking about like dust. Yeah, you get a little dust on your coffee table or whatever, but I'm talking about real, actual dirt. It doesn't happen very often, does it?
No, it doesn't happen very often. I mean, if you go outside and go for a hike or go for a bike ride or something, you can have, you know, there's dust in the air and those sort of microorganisms that are still available to you that way. But, you know, most of us are pretty studious about trying to avoid dirt.
Which is kind of a shame. So, Marianne, can you give us some advice on some things that will help us maybe get dirty?
Yeah, I mean, obviously gardening is a really good thing. It's been long been associated with reduced depression, which is really, really wonderful.
Plus, you can grow your own food.
Yeah, less anxiety and stress.
You can spend $300 to get $4 worth of tomatoes
like you do every year, right? But, you know, tomatoes are one of the easiest things to grow. You can grow them in pots on your balcony or in hanging baskets or something. Those are really, really great. It's a really good way to improve your diet. Basically, if you grow stuff, right? The stuff that you grow has been shown that the best way to get vitamins and fiber is straight from our food. And people who garden tend to eat better because you're having your own produce.
I did this. I grew this. I'm going to eat
it
now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sad that we don't have the community garden down at Tahnequint that we used to have. When Doug and I first moved here, we had a community plot for about 3 summers. And we grew all kinds of wonderful produce. And then it was like that Joni Mitchell song, they paved paradise to put up a parking lot.
Yeah.
Because they expanded the parking for the All Abilities Park, which is important. I understand that. And we were told that they were going to move the community garden at some point, but that hasn't happened yet.
I know there is. There has been one. Maybe it's defunct now, but in Washington City had a community garden for a while as well. And I don't know if it's still going. We'll have to do some Googling and checking on that. But, gardening, even if you don't have room, if you can find the time and the energy to do that, it's good for you.
Believe it or not, there are some, professionals, scientists, doctors who say that you should actually embrace dirt and, sift it through your fingers.
Obviously not laundry professionals.
Not laundry professionals, not married to women who are doing all the laundry. There's something actually you can volunteer for, projects like trail reconstruction or maintenance, that kind of thing. Or you could try something called forest bathing.
Forest bathing.
Forest bathing, yes. That's something that's...
Does Brooke Shields have something to do with that? I don't know what that is.
There's actually an Association of Nature and Forest Therapy, believe it or not.
Okay.
It's a professional group that's certified more than 300 people across the U.S. And they are forest therapy guides. And they will... that includes psychotherapists, nurses, and a bunch of doctors. And they take people out in the forest. And this is actually modeled after a Japanese tradition called, see if I can say this right, Shinrin Yoku.
Okay.
Or forest bathing.
Kind of like feng shui, huh? Okay,
feng shui, exactly. And you basically just go out into nature and you, immerse yourself in the beauty of nature and you get dirty. Preferably if you're barefoot, you can feel the texture of the dirt. I know this sounds really airy-fairy and crazy and stupid, but all these things are super, super good for your brain as far as reducing stress. But then it's also been shown to, help your immune system if you're exposed to these microorganisms.
Well, and it's something innate in us that we want to be in the outdoors. Mm-hmm. I mean, camping,
right.
I know a lot of guys who go hunting every year, but they're not really hunting. In fact, they don't even shoot their gun usually. They're there to camp.
To be
basically
outside.
To be out in the dirt.
Get a little dirty, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's a really, really wonderful thing. It's one of those kind of primal instincts that we have.
Yeah.
There's probably a reason for it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and there's also, there's this whole social connection. If you're, at a community garden or you're working on a trail project or something, you're having socialization.
Mm-hmm.
It is really great exercise to garden. We've talked about this. If you're up and down, Dr. Sapkier, who runs Walk with a Doc, had a whole series about this recently. And he said it's gardening is great exercise. It's like a long athletic game of Twister, only with weeds and rutabagas, and none of those awkward Twister moments, which I thought was pretty
cool. Caterpillars. I agree. Although I will say this, at first it's probably hard. If you're not used to being on the ground and stuff, that's going to be really hard.
You're doing
first.
A lot of squats up and down.
Yeah, but once you get used to it, and the motivation, you're talking about the motivation of growing your own vegetables. Mm-hmm. Once you get into that, then it gets easier and easier.
It does. So. It does. And it's, what's better than being outside in the sunshine? We need that vitamin D on our skin, and it's just very important that we are out there. I love this. There's a woman called Jill Dreves, and she's the founder of Wild Bear Nature Center in Nederland, Colorado, and she has the best, most simple recipe for getting dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Be like kids. Make a mud pie.
Make a mud pie.
Make a mud pie.
Yeah.
Why not? Put some stones in it and decorate it. Make it something pretty.
Okay, we got 2 minutes left.
Okay. And anyway, so you can start with container gardening, putting things in pots on your patio or your balcony. Or if you have some space, do some raised beds. And you can grow stuff, and you'll have this huge sense of accomplishment, which will make you feel better, and the stuff that you eat will make you healthier.
And I think a part of getting dirty, too, is, do you spend time in your yard, making your yard better? And even if it's a, desert-friendly, like Zach Rindstrom always recommends, are you out there making it pretty, making it nice?
Well, and also you can create a habitat garden. We have about a gazillion rosemary bushes in front of our house. Those attract bees and bugs and, wonderful things that come across.
Hummingbirds.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah. So if you do a habitat garden, you'll attract, wildlife, bees and butterflies. So that's wonderful for the environment also.
We found a hummingbird nest on one of our little... So you would think a nest would have to be on something kind of big.
Yeah.
It's actually on one of the wires that of the lights that we have up in our backyard.
A
nest on a wire. But hummingbirds
they're
are so
tiny.
Small
yeah, they're
that it's okay.
Like
they can do that. Yeah, really, really tiny. And We were out the other day sitting in our pool and, mm-hmm. and enjoying Saturday's gorgeous weather. And yeah. there's the hummingbird hanging out in his little teeny oh. nest on the little teeny wire. And I felt connected to nature for a little while.
We love watching our hummies. We have three hummingbird feeders in the backyard, and it's just so fun to watch them. And they are pretty territorial.
They are. Yeah. Yeah. You yeah. don't want to, I don't know what they do if they're mad at you. I don't know if they poke you with that little long beak or what they are.
Don't get in my food.
Again, folks, just to recap, get dirty. It's good for you. It really can. It really therapeutically and also physically, you know, disease-wise, this is something that we're finding out. Oh, by the way, it helps.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Cops and Robbers is May 18th. Mm-hmm. You can register right now at sgcity.org. Mm-hmm. And please wear a helmet. If you're going to be going even if you're not going very fast, you never know when you're going to get hit.
And parents, please model that for your kids as well. You know, really important for them to learn that bicycle safety is really, really important.
Yeah, there may not be a law. Marianne said, like I said last week, it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. You still lose if you get hit by a car.
Exactly.
So, thank you, Marianne, for coming in today.
Thanks, Andy. Always fun. See you next month.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.